All right. Thank you, Matthew. If I had made you read the whole thing, it would be very hard. There's so many names in there. So, good morning, friends. So, before I came, I found out that there's the Fall Retreat Conference, right? So, this is how I feel like. It's like you've been invited to a house party when the parents are away for the weekend. So you just go in there, enjoy the house party. And so it's good to see you all today. But everything will still be appropriate for a sermon. Nothing inappropriate for. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, let's go. So this year at the UBC Cantonese Campus Ministry, we are learning about the theme of love based on Paul's definition of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We started by sharing with one another what the word love brings to each of our minds. Some words are elusive, slippery, just hard to pin down in our everyday use, because they can take on a range of meanings depending on the listener, the context, and the object. The word love, I think, is one of them. For example, I may say that I love basketball. I say that I love my morning coffee. I may say that I love my family and my kids. And then I turn around and I say I love being by myself in my office. But last but definitely not least, I say I love my wife, who's here today, and my kids too. And so the exact same word, used in different contexts with different affect, carries within it different purposes, different meanings, and different interpretations. Such is also the case with the word we are going to reflect on today, joy. Joy, like the word love, is a word that is just as confusing, because joy is just as elusive, but it's also very evocative. We need to ask, what exactly is joy? What do Christians believe about joy? How do Christians experience joy? And most importantly, what is the source of Christian joy? These are some of the questions we will consider today with the help of the passage in Nehemiah chapter 12. It tells of a momentous occasion of joy for the returned exiles. We will learn that joy is directly tied to thanksgiving. So let's pray before we begin. Father God, you are the source of all joy. Renew our minds so that we would hear your most precious word. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation, and help us always find joy in giving thanks to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we continue our sermon series on Nehemiah. Let's have a quick review of where we have been so far. The book of Nehemiah tells the story of Nehemiah's efforts to spearhead and brought to fruition the wall rebuilding project in Jerusalem. And the section from chapter 8 to chapter 12 is a description of the period of spiritual renewal among the Israelites upon the completion of the rebuilding of the wall. Chapter 8 tells us about how the people gathered to hear the reading of the law by Ezra with weeping and rejoicing. In chapter 9, they gathered together to confess their sins. Chapter 10, the people renewed their covenant and sealed it together, pledging to fulfill the obligations of the law. In chapter 11 and the first half of chapter 12, we get a long list of names of the who's and the where's, names of the chiefs, the priests, the Levites, and the gatekeepers, and where they settled. And then we come to today's passage. We read about the celebration and thanksgiving that concludes our section of Israel's spiritual renewal. The occasion is given to us in verse 27, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. The rebuilding project is complete. And let's look ahead at verse 43, which reads, "And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away." In the original language, the same word for joy appears 5 times in one verse. So with no ambiguity, the emotion of the occasion is of great joy. So let's go back to the question, what is joy? It would help us to try to differentiate between joy and happiness. The founding document of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, starts by declaring that human beings are endowed with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This phrase, the pursuit of happiness, has captured the collective imagination of what the good life is. Our society takes it for granted that everyone has the right to acquire happiness, as long as it is done without affecting other people. The pursuit of happiness is closely linked to the pursuit of material goods, luxury, and other pleasure-making activities. One of the most, dare I say, prophetic works of literature is Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. The book imagines a dystopian society where citizens are given a happiness drug called Soma to ensure the stability of a very oppressive and totalitarian society. It may seem far-fetched and extreme to us, but in fact, surrounding us are different kinds of things, just like Soma. There are no lack of options to entertain ourselves, to give us happiness. And the number of ways to entertain has exponentially increased with technology. One of the best examples is no doubt the television. One of my favorite cartoons growing up in Hong Kong is Doraemon, Ding Dong. Yay, right? It's my favorite show. And Glories. And once a week on Saturday at 4 p.m. sharp, my brother and I would sit before the TV to catch the show. The buildup of anticipation during the commercials, and then finally when the intro song plays, there is joy in the house. And I was one happy child for 30 minutes. Once a week at a very specific time. But today, we have YouTube, we have Netflix, and all the streaming services out there. Every season, every episode of thousands of shows are available at the press of a button. What's even more amazing or scary is that even when we finish a show, the AI will tell us what show we might like. So unending happiness streamed into our living rooms. And most of us have probably known the feeling of emptiness after binge-watching marathons. And also there's mindless browsing of online shops, Instagramming, TikTok, infinite scrolling down. These platforms, they know exactly how to trigger happiness in our brains to keep us glued to the screen. And I am reminded of another classic book by the Christian cultural critic Neil Postman with a very interesting name, Amusing Ourselves to Death. These two books are stark reminders for us. And so any effort to pursue happiness on its own, if it is detached from the source of joy, it will ultimately come up short. It is very well articulated in Ecclesiastes. Such pursuit is meaningless. In the Bible, joy is more than just a positive feeling of happiness that bubbles from within. Biblical joy is deeper and it is wider. And joy comes from a real and tangible source. So let's go back to today's passage in Nehemiah and learn how joy happened among the Israelites. Regarding Christian joy, we will ask three questions from today's passage. With whom, how, and from where? The first question, with whom? Verse 27. The Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem. And verses 28 to 29, the musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, for the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. The answer to the first question, Christian joy is celebrated with a community gathered together. In Nehemiah chapter 2, before the start of the rebuilding project, we learn that Nehemiah called the Israelites together to rebuild. Rebuilding is a corporate matter. And likewise, rejoicing is also a corporate matter. That's why the Levites who settled in towns around Jerusalem must be brought together and gathered together for this occasion. As Psalm 133 proclaims, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. As the people of God gather together, Christian joy is celebrated in unity. And one of the most troubling periods in the Old Testament is none other than the time of Judges, which can be summed up in one verse in Judges 21:25. Everyone did as they saw fit. In the original language, it says, everyone did what they saw as good in their eyes. Doesn't this sound like the pursuit of happiness? And this is individualism, pure and simple. Individualism presents a major challenge to us and to the church. And one of the consequences of rampant individualism is loneliness. Most unfortunately, the situation is exacerbated by the COVID pandemic. With COVID comes what experts call a loneliness pandemic. Study upon study, local and abroad, tell us that teenagers and young adults are particularly hit hardest by loneliness during the pandemic. A recent report in BC came out and told us in the first half of 2021, the province had recorded the most ever drug abuse deaths in the first 6 months of a year. This rampant drug use is a symptom of the larger pandemic of loneliness in our society. Cut off from friends or family, stuck within the four walls of our homes, without seeing anyone besides our immediate family. And there are those who are living alone. In this pandemic, all of us had faced the challenge of loneliness to various degrees. And I have preached about individualism various times in the past because I see this as a major obstacle to the gospel and to the church in our day and age. You see, Vancouver is now in full swing. Winter is coming quickly. And we are entering a period when sunlight is hard to come by. So may I encourage all of us to take the extra step, to gather together as the church and welcome people among our midst and to celebrate by worshiping together. As the world succumbs to the forces of division, atomization, and the lure of happiness, let us assemble as the church and celebrate the goodness of God. And as the passage says in verse 27, we celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with music. And we come to the second question. How? How does Christian joy come about? We are still in the pandemic. New case numbers remain steady every day. The church has gone through a difficult period. Some of us may be facing relationship challenges. Some of us are in the season of adjusting to a new location or new life stage. For the world, for the church, and for some of us, it may still be a time of wilderness. So how can we find joy? Let's turn to Psalm 137, a psalm written by the Israelite exiles to Babylon. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps." The exiles, when they remembered their past, the things that they lost in Babylon, there was no reason for them to make music. And they exclaim in the psalm, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Some of us may also find ourselves asking, how can we sing the songs of the Lord in the midst of a global pandemic, amidst struggles against difficult circumstances and relationships, in the grips of grief or even depression, in a foreign land away from home? But in the psalm, the exiles, they turned around and made a vow. They said, "If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy." These exiles to Babylon, they had to wait 70 years before they could return to a devastated Jerusalem. In Nehemiah 12:28, the musicians who led the celebration, in the original language, they are called the sons of musicians. Imagine the musicians who returned from exile. They left Jerusalem at a young age and returning after 70 years. And yet, they have never forgotten from where they came from. They also made sure that their children do not forget. That is why when they return to Jerusalem and witness the amazing work of God, they are able to give thanks with great joy. And then we read in the passage, in 31, 38, and 40, the word of choirs, instead of singers, the word used to describe the assembly is simply thanksgiving. So a literal reading of the verse is, "I appointed two large thanksgivings." This word reminds us the central act of Christian joy is thanksgiving. And last week on Thanksgiving Sunday, Pastor Sam preached to us about thanksgiving. When we witness God's new expressions of new creation in this world, the only appropriate response is joyful praise and thanksgiving. It is a whole person response, our act, will, and emotion towards God's work in this world. And joy is embodied in Christian community when we give thanks. In the words of Nehemiah, we ourselves become thanksgiving. And what the choirs did was to walk around and circle the completed wall around Jerusalem. The route they took is the exact same route that Nehemiah took when he did his initial inspections back in chapter 2. The meaning behind it is significant. By retracing the steps along the key stations of the wall, the memory of the Israelites are evoked, together with emotions of thankfulness. That is why thanksgiving begins always with an exercise of our memory. Let us not forget who God is. We need to remember the Creator God who created out of chaos in creation. We remember that God is always at work in this world. And we remember how God in Jesus Christ rescued us from the chaos of our lives in the past. And so how does joy happen? Joy happens when we give thanks. Now we have talked about the how, we turn to the third question. From where? Where does joy come from? What is its source? Verse 43 tells us that Israelites were rejoicing because God had given them great joy. For Christians, joy cannot be sought by our pursuit or striving. True joy is only given to us by God out of His grace. In Genesis, Isaac's name means laughter, telling of the joy that God gave her mother Sarah by giving her a son at old age. But this joy was not passed to Isaac's younger son Jacob, whose name means grabbing. Having lived a life of trickery, he was on the run two times. There was family drama upon family drama. And then at old age, he lost a son. And he had to face famine in old age. And Jacob looks back at his life and he said to Pharaoh, "All the years of my life have been few and painful, few and difficult." He reflects upon his life and sees a life that brings him more sorrow than joy. For those of us who focus our lives on finding happiness, who think that we can achieve joy on our own, by our own talents and efforts, our striving and grabbing apart from God, we will end up like Jacob, finding the years of our lives few and difficult. In contrast, in Nehemiah chapter 12, there is a biblical character who is repeatedly mentioned. He is David. King David is not just the commander-in-chief in Israel. He might be more remembered as the thanksgiver-in-chief. Just look at the sheer number of psalms attributed to him in the book of Psalms. Not only in victory or in good times, even under hot pursuit by enemies near and far, even in his deepest moments of distress, David is able to turn his gaze towards God in thanksgiving. His most beloved psalm of all psalms, Psalm 23, begins with the most powerful summary of the reason of all of Christian joy. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Joy is simple as that. We only need to trust the shepherd who leads us. There is no need to struggle for ourselves, to pursue happiness. God is the shepherd who provides. God is the reason and the recipient of our thanksgiving. And so together with community, we joyfully celebrate His acts of new creation by giving thanks to God, who is not far from us, but He is the God who came among us. And I will end by pointing that Jesus Christ is the one who builds and rebuilds. Jesus is the behind the renewal of all things. He is the root cause of our joy. By His cross and His resurrection, a new creation is coming upon us. And through the Holy Spirit, a new creation is coming forth from us. A rebuilding of Jerusalem is taking place in ourselves, in our lives, and in our church. There may be difficulties and setbacks. There are times of wilderness. But we know the outcome is already determined. And I will end with this encouragement from Hebrews 12. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So let us respond by giving thanks to God.